Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Joe Dolio is the greatest, and Brooke thinks he's just very cool.
So cool. Tactical all the way, bro.
Right on.
Right all right. On. You know the deal. I'll call you back. I might keep that and keep it in for the podcast. Cats
being chased by a dog.
Dog and cat. Our mascot named Lucy and our cat named Lynx. They are the mascots. Hello and welcome to Brooke Talks America, home of the new right, and our Tactical Tuesdays podcast with Joe Dolio, also known as the Joe Stradamus and Brooke the Magnificent Show. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, how are you? And there were some Brookster or some Joe Stradamus predictions that came true over the last couple of days, just so you know.
Well, I'm not surprised at all, and we'll get into those, so don't forget. So just a reminder that you can sign up at each of our sites for alerts on new articles and shows. Mine is brooktalksamerica.com. It's Brooke with an E. Joe's is tacticalwisdom.com. Please share, of course, and all leave us a message to say how much you love the show. So we are in book 3 now of Joe's Tactical Wisdom series, which is called Defensive Operations. And we'll be doing a little bit of recap for the next phase of the preparedness training that we're, you know, engaged in. Here we're discussing the preface, which will emphasize the reality of life in a without rule of law situation. You know, something that we have already been breaking down the components of to this point. But Joe, before we begin, I want you to read the Bible verse that you put in there. Explain why you chose that particular one and why you use the word slavery to describe what would potentially happen in a without rule of law situation.
Absolutely. And this verse is really kind of a foundational one for me. I use it a lot because it means so much. So it is from Galatians. It's Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So that's pretty vital, right? I mean,
yep.
If you think about it in a first century context, slavery was literally slavery. And so what I'm talking about in a without rule of law context is a slightly different kind of slavery, is that if you're not prepared to defend yourself, your home, and your property, you're going to end up producing things for others. And what I mean by that is they're going to come by and say, if you don't give us half of the food you produce, or God forbid, one of your children or whatever, then we're going to kill you and you're going to have no choice but to do it. Some people might think that sounds extreme, but I challenge you to read a book by Selko. It's about a year of his life in Serbia when the country collapsed. They were in a complete, total collapse. Complete state of civil war, and the people had to survive to get by. Families had to give up their daughters. People would go out to find food and never come back, or they would go out and produce their own food, and along would come a unit of military soldiers, like a squad. They'd come along and take all the food for themselves. So the minute that government restrictions are removed, criminals don't vanish. They're in fact going to be emboldened, and they're going to love their new life. So you need to be prepared at some point to defend what you have, or you will become a literal slave where you're producing things and you only get to keep part of it. And you have to give the rest of it to somebody else.
Yeah. And by the way, the criminals are already being emboldened right now. And I really believe that it's partly for that reason. They're not being prosecuted. Only patriots are being prosecuted. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that if they decide that the criminals are no longer useful for them, if they'll start locking them up. But I happen to think, no, they're useful for what they're planning in the very, very near future for the Summer of Love and beyond. And everybody should watch the last Batman movie with Bane and all of that situation. I think it's very parallel. You know, regarding the issue of dependence and slavery, you mentioned it. Isn't it true that in countries where the economy has imploded, right, and people are starving, women and have ended up being prostitutes in order to survive, right? So if you're a woman and you, or you have children, that could potentially happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things that's really going to come back. And I hate to be that blunt about it, but it's true, right?
Yeah.
Human trafficking is a big winner in a without rule of law society. And exchanging female slaves or prisoners for goods and services is how the world existed for thousands of years. And it's nothing we want to go back to, but we won't exactly have a choice. So you should then choose to actually defend yourselves rather than fall into that old world style of living.
Yeah, well, and hungry people. And by the way, so it's we talk about women because that's the natural. It doesn't necessarily only mean women. It could be men. And also we mentioned children. I mean, there's a movie called Human Trafficking. You mentioned it really just, I'll never forget it after I first watched it. And that's what they do. This woman, I think it was in Thailand, this family gave their daughter up. And whether they knew or not what was happening, the child ended up to be sex trafficked across the world and they had no idea. So the, you know, hungry people will do what they have to do to eat. Predators are always looking for people to control. And just look at Washington, D.C. Sorry, I got off topic. Not really. But, you know, we also, I don't remember whether we talked about this last week, but of course there are completely innocent, speaking of hunger, right? Completely innocent fires and explosions at the dozens of food processing plants that are not, I repeat, not part of a plan to cause famine and devastation about the midterms, right?
Yeah, well, there's a new one that happened, I just found out about while we were getting ready for this thing.
Oh, my God.
In Pennsylvania last night, so.
What was it? Was it another airplane that nobody can find because it was a drone?
No, that's interesting, though. But no, it was a Hormel Foods thing, and they're just now investigating it. So
yeah. Well, I saw this interesting, I don't remember where, it might have been on War Room, where they were talking about how the FDA, which is supposed to regulate all that stuff, you know, the food processing, they have spent so much time and energy on the D, which is drug, because of the pandemic and because of their, you know, economic interest in it, that they've totally sidelined on the food part of it, that, you know, you have to wonder, I mean, of course you and I are going to, well, any sort of sane, rational person is going to go, this is just too much of a quote unquote coincidence to say it's anything other than purposeful. But even if it was complete incompetence, that's why they did it, is because they were too busy focused on making sure that, you know, little Joey and Susie and Granny could get the jab pushed into them so they could all make billions of dollars.
It's also ironic that this morning we're finding out that Kamala Harris has once again got COVID despite being double vaccinated and double boosted.
What? And apparently Bobby Francis has it too.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, at least here's the thing. Remember before the election, all the Republicans were getting it, and this was before the vaccine. Now all the Democrats are getting it. So I don't mind that. You know, I don't mind it that.
I think it's a push for it to come, make a comeback, and therefore we have to do drastic things.
We'll see. We'll see whether the people, you know, look at the videos of the people on the plane. And I imagine that's people of all, you know, all, it was all colors. I'm sure it was all political persuasions. They don't want the face diaper on. So we'll see how, you know, interested the people are in being free. And a complete segue, I was watching this show, America Rising, the Revolution, or American Patriot Rising, something like that, the Revolution. People need to remember how this country was founded. Okay. They need to watch that and look, read history on how this country was founded. And by the way, today is the Midnight Ride of Sybil Ludington. So knock back some stocking mail coffee, Midnight Ride special. Tell Eddie I, you know, talked about it. But that wonderful teenager among, you know, all kind of people, young, old, children, slaves that weren't even free, have served and sacrificed for our country. So let's not be so quick to give it away, shall we?
Actually,
we're going to talk.
It was more dangerous than Paul Revere's. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's that was a really amazing show, the Patriot American Revolution, and it got into all those details, and like we had benevolent mercy at the time. even though the people that were trying to found the country of America had slaves. Okay, so all these people that talk about America, slavery, the founding and everything, yes. And I'm not one of those conservatives that just, sloughs that off. Yes, we did. It is our original sin. I don't care what anybody says, right? That, the Indians, it was horrible. It was atrocious, right? And yes, we did have the American, the Civil War, and yes, hundreds of thousands of white people died of freed slaves. Yes, but it didn't, it didn't completely diminish the issues. But the point is that there were incredibly brave people who were not even free yet, who served and sacrificed and put themselves in extreme danger and their families and their children for this country. And we need to do what we can to preserve it in their honor. They weren't even free and they were still fighting for America, and they wouldn't be free for another 60, 70 years. So, the people listening to this, but you need to understand, go ask the Hessians how gentlemanly the war was. Go watch The Patriot and ask who the father told his sons, what the father told his sons in the forest, and remember how this happened, and not give this country away so freely. Anyways, back to the subject. I want to talk about Shanghai in a bit, but just for the people listening to the show, remember, it's not because you're paranoid, right? It's because you know something about history. You see the tea leaves that are what are happening. So people would say something like the food processing is a conspiracy, or all these other things. Oh, you're just conspiracy theorists. They're not going to actually do anything. Read a history book, people. Read a history book, right?
Right. Well, I say this because somebody tried to present to me a mathematical model for how all of these fires and incidents are not out of the statistical norm. And so that's okay. That's an anomaly, right? When you look at the moment we are in history, there is no way that this is not orchestrated.
Yeah. So, well, I was talking with someone the other day, and they actually said, I don't know anything to validate this or not, but they said the planets are in alignment to cause a famine. Now, I don't really understand what that means. I guess it's water or something, drought, but the globalists are also in alignment to cause a famine. Yeah, so.
I mean, I'll tell you, everyone wants to complain about Elon Musk buying Twitter and how he could have solved world hunger with his money. But Bill Gates owns most farmland in America. He could have solved world hunger and no one cares. So world hunger seems to be part of the plan. And I've seen a lot of population projections that are a little bit scary for the U.S. between now and 2025. That have us all the way down to 25 million people. And how do you do that? Well, hunger's one way to do that.
Yeah. So. Well, that's why we talk about this show. And we also mention things that wouldn't necessarily be in the subject of prepping, which is to actually grow your food. We're going to get into it in a minute about the Soldier Boy stuff, but grow your own food, start storing,
Yeah, absolutely. And on the topic of this verse here about not letting yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery, it goes for getting shots in your body, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let someone else tell me what I have to do. I get to make that choice, not you. So great point.
Funny how the whole my body, my choice thing changed when it benefited them.
Well, yeah.
It's for politics, of course.
Same thing with this whole Twitter thing is, but it was okay to control speech when they did it, but now that they think Elon Musk is going to do it, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So.
Did you watch Ari Melber? I don't know if it was on Tucker, if it was on War Room. He literally said just that, they're going to be able to control speech and they might be able to silence someone and, turn their interaction down. And it's like, do you hear yourself, dude? Do you heal yourself at all? How many conservatives have been kicked off? The president of the United States was kicked off. So spare me the outrage. I just hope that he is, he does what he says. I know Trump said he's not going to go back. I wish he would. But
I don't know so much about individuals as I do about the one-sided silliness of it, because now all of a sudden we're going to eliminate Section 230 protection.
Of course.
We've been asking for them to do that forever and they wouldn't. And now that Elon Musk owns it, we must, to preserve our democracy. Twitter literally has nothing to do with our democracy, and we're not even a democracy. So
exactly. Well, you know, the Constitution is something outdated anyways. But all right. So we've discussed the, you know, you've talked about this a lot. I don't want to play Soldier Boy responses that you've gotten to your book about preparedness in general. People always go ahead. Expand
that for a second. If sure. You don't mind. So when I first presented the ideas for this book, I started running a series on my blog about different skills you need. And this guy just vehemently was like, you know, I'm all about preparedness, but I don't want to play Soldier Boy. Here's the deal. A lot of you think that you're going to live out some sort of Little House on the Prairie cosplay where you're going to get to just homestead and do your thing. Yeah. And everyone else is going to leave you alone. History tells us otherwise, right? They're going to come for you. So whether you want to or not, you have to be able to defend yourself. It's like the people who just so willingly throughout their day put their safety in the hands of others. Those who say, well, no one needs a firearm for self-defense. The police will be there to protect me. Throughout your day, I want you to look around and see how often you see a police officer around you. Then look and see how many sketchy looking people you see around you. Mm-hmm. Huh? Man, you got to take some responsibility at some point. And thinking, I'm going to be prepared, I'm going to grow my own food, and I'm going to have this big stockpile, but I'm not going to be ready to defend it, is just naive and silly.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, all the liberals in Hollywood, and it's this, it goes without saying, as soon as Karen gets upset, then stuff starts to change. So in Hollywood, they have all these attacks. Now all the libs, particularly the white libs that are criticizing guns, even though they make, you know, millions and billions of dollars with 50,000 deaths in a movie, all with, you know, guns, they're all buying guns now. Because why? Because it's in their neighborhood. Well, so when it's in Beverly Hills, it's okay.
What's ironic is they were anti-gun and anti-war until Russia invaded Ukraine, and Ukraine just started literally handing out guns to anyone who could walk.
Yeah.
Didn't have to prove who they were. They let people out of prison and handed them guns. Now, all of a sudden, guns are cool. And what we're seeing, for those of us who monitor some of the more violent groups on the left, we're seeing them conducting firearms training every weekend.
Yeah,
we're seeing them conducting tactical training every weekend, like we're going to talk about in this book. And they're conducting first aid training, and not just first aid training, but gunshot wound first aid training. Mm-hmm. So there's a significant amount of escalation from the other side going on. Prudence demands that you do something yourself, right? And then look at the shooting on the subway, and all the people who were woefully unprepared, no tourniquets, no first aid kits, nothing available. There was probably a first aid kit on the subway if anyone had bothered to look around at their surroundings when they first got on it, right? So you should know everywhere you go where all of the exits are, where the fire extinguishers are, and where the first aid kits are. They're usually quite clearly marked.
Yeah, and I've mentioned this before on other podcasts, is that there's somewhere that I go on a regular basis, and it's very small and a very tight room. And I thought, I sometimes sit there and I think, what would happen if someone started blasting? Like, what, you know, if I have something on me or if I don't have something on me, what could I grab? Where could I throw? Where could I jump? You know, stuff like that. Just the natural thinking about, I tend to be, you know, I tend to always sit against the wall, usually watching the door or by the door, so that, you know, I don't like having anybody sit behind me. But just that mindset, like, you never ever know. And that's, you know, what you talked about is in New York City. I mean, this is blue cities and states, and it's like that mindset is totally gone. And that's why they're going to be so screwed, and really why they'll probably be so dangerous, is because they just don't think about that. The same people that burn and loot to get Gucci wouldn't have an idea how to put a seed in dirt and grow something if they had a gun to their head. So,
and it's literally part of human nature and has been for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And that's the part that troubles me the most. We've lost so many basic skills. For example, through restrictions and alleged safety measures, the knife. Let's talk about the knife. Probably for the last 35, 40,000 years, everyone used to carry a knife on their belt, men and women, right? For one, for daily tasks, whatever they needed, and two, for self-defense. But as soon as we got into the modern era of, say, 1960s onward, there's been a concerted effort to reduce people carrying knives. Look at London, right? But what happens, though, is rather than your odds of violence going down, while knife crime goes down, violence in general goes up because now there's no consequence to attacking someone. The person can't have a gun, can't have a knife. So what we end up with is guys stopping a terrorist attack with a narwhal tusk they took off the wall of a bar.
Yeah. Right?
Because they had no other means available to defeat the criminal who will always find a way to arm themselves. So once you start that slippery slope on something as simple as a knife that you carry in your pocket or your belt, things go downhill from there very, very fast. And we've overregulated ourselves to that point. And that's why nobody farms anymore, too. It's so regulated.
Yeah, well, I can't even say some of the things that I need to on here because I know Agent Jansen is listening. But there are a lot of things that needs to happen. One of those might be to, let me see, occupy Bill Gates' farmland. Just saying. Well, okay. Huh? Just, well, I'm serious, back, though. I'm actually not kidding. So
I got you. I agree with you. but I want to bring us back to kind of our topic on at hand here in this preface is self-sufficiency, right?
Yeah.
That's our problem. They would like you to be 100% reliant on them so that when they take away the food, they are your source of food. And as I mentioned I wrote this long before any of this food shortage started happening, right?
Right.
So I wrote this book about a year ago. And so what I said is that self-sufficiency gives you the ability to say no, right? Now, if you rely on somebody else to give you food, for example, they can say, well, in order for you to do certain things, in order for you to get food, you have to agree to X, Y, and Z. If I grow my own food, I can say, don't care. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to grow my own food. They don't want you to do that, right? They want you to be totally reliant on them. You don't need to grow food in the country. Come live in the city, live in this apartment building. We'll deliver you food. And as an example of that, there's a thing that went around on Twitter the other day about this new elevator app. You could get in the elevator and you scan it with your phone and you can control the elevator from your app. Now, you might think, well, that just seems silly because I could just push the button because it's right there. Well, imagine right now they have this elevator app as a novelty item, but eventually the buttons on the elevator will go away and you'll have to control it from your phone, right? What can they do then when you put out a social media post they don't like or you express public opinions that they don't like? Well, now you can't call the elevator, therefore you can't leave your apartment unless you take the stairs. And then your phone will be used to make purchases, which is what they want you to do, right? With Apple Pay and Google Pay. They want you to use your phone for every little purchase so that they can shut you out of life if they decide that you're not pulling your weight or you're not doing the right thing. And this may seem far-fetched to you, but it's exactly how life operates in China.
Yeah.
And there's several proposals out there that the good old boys at the World Economic Forum believe what you want about them, whether it's a conspiracy theory or not. They're actually saying these things.
I mean, they say, yeah, that's why I don't see why it's a conspiracy. They literally say it. New World Order, Great Reset. And there's supposedly a meeting. It's on Gateway Pundit. There's a meeting in May with the World Health Organization, which is in alignment with the World Economic Forum and IMF, World Bank, all of these UN, all of these organizations are working in cahoots with the globalists. So we have to watch and see what they think that they're going to do on there. But there's no hyperbole about what you said about the elevator. And people really need to listen to that and say 100% he's right. Because if they, and by the way, that's why they want to have all the people in the city. If they decide they need to drop a missile, boom, you're gone.
Or it's a lot easier to control. So I've long said that when everyone talks about martial law, the United States doesn't have enough troops, National Guard or regular army, to control the whole country. But they can control 8 or 10 cities at one time by just shutting off the roads in and out, right? So they would much rather you be centralized in a city. And I want to give an example on the self-sufficiency thing that where if you rely on them for something, they can make you do whatever they want you to do. Hurricane Katrina. After Hurricane Katrina, they went around and were handing out food with a couple of conditions. One is that you give up your guns. And two, you get in this truck and they're going to take you to the Metrodome and drop you off. So the condition of getting fed by FEMA and the federal government during Hurricane Katrina was surrendering your firearms and agreeing to be forcibly relocated from your home. You might want to say, oh, you're just exaggerating, but that really happened in the United States.
Yeah. And you saw how Katrina was. I mean, that was like, that did not happen, by the way, in Hurricane Andrew in Miami, because they would not have allowed it to happen. I'm sorry. But it did happen in New Orleans, and then they moved them to Houston. So,
So if you're prepared, you're trained, and you're self-sufficient, you can do what you want, not what somebody else wants you to do. That's the biggest piece of preparedness, retaining your ability to make your own decisions. You don't have to compromise a single thing because you can fend for yourself. And right. I think that that's the biggest thing, and that ties right back to that verse. Now, what's funny about all of this, and Javier Goya and I just talked about this last night, is that while I was doing some different things over the week, another verse came to me as I was just reading some research, and it's out of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Now, in this, he was talking about Jerusalem about to go through a societal collapse. And it's basically that verse is telling you to get out and grow your own food. Mm. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat you will eat the good things of the land. Grow your own food. I keep saying this, but if you're not planting food this spring, you might not be eating this fall.
Yeah. Well, and something that's so easy people need to like think about is just get a bucket, put some dirt, cut the potatoes, make them sprout, and then grow them. They'll bolt off and you have tons of potatoes and it's nutrient dense. It's like so easy. Even like, you know, I'm not a green thumb, but I mean, like I could do it. So it's something easy.
Right. And if you store potatoes properly, they will last a very, very long time.
Yeah. Well, I want you to talk about, go ahead.
Most of our problem with food storage is the way in which we store it. Like, we keep our houses too warm for potatoes to last a long time, or other produce, right? So you just have to think about what the ideal condition is for that. So what's the condition of the soil generally 10 feet down or 3 feet down? About 50 to 55 degrees. That's where you need to store them.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So I want you to talk, though, because it's also about the self-sufficiency, but also, and we've talked about this a lot in the other podcast, defending. So we're talking about storing, gathering and growing, but then you have to defend it. So I want you to talk about the tractor widget example to illustrate the defending your positions.
So let's do a little fictional role-playing story here. And I'm going to be honest, the story I'm telling is not a totally made up story. It does come from some tales from people who survived the former Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. So you've been farming on your own land and something goes wrong with your tractor. You need some little widget or piece of it or whatever. So you do it as things do in a collapsed society. You're going to go into the town market. Basically, whenever a society collapses, we revert to like the 900s range, right? Like life was in the 900s in England. There's a town market. Everyone brings their stuff to the town market. You do trade there, right? You work out barters. So you decide, all right, I'm going to go and get this tractor widget from the ironsmith in town. So I'm going to get a whole bunch of food that I'm going to take to him to trade for this item. So you go into town, you trade with him, and then you get your part and you head on back to your farm. Well, you're laying down, you're going to sleep, 3 o'clock in the morning, a whole bunch of guys bust into your door, come in, snatch you up, and then take half of your food and tell you they'll be back in 3 months and they want just as much food. So that's the reality of life in a without rule of law situation. So what happened there? Well, basically, you were in town, they saw you had excess food, enough food that you could trade it for other things. So they decided to follow you back to your home, and because you didn't have any defenses set up, they came and took things from you. Now, on the other hand, if when I went to town to trade for those goods, I brought a couple of extra people with me who were armed, who were watching my back, first of all, they would have detected the other people following, right? And if on our way back, we took a different route so we could tell if we were being followed, or we paused and set up a watch to see who was coming behind us, the guys never would have found out where we lived. Or let's just say they did. If they come back there and there's someone always on guard duty, there's always an armed patrol going on my property, they would realize that that's not a target they want to take on, and they should go and find a better victim. You have to think about these things now and ahead of time, because those people will be out there. They'll be mm-hmm. watching that market to see who doesn't have security. They'll be following you home to see what your security arrangements are. You have to be thinking about this. And I know it may seem like I'm a little bit obsessive about security in that environment, but that comes from studying the various societal collapses that we've seen. Argentina, the former Yugoslavia, any war zone.
Venezuela.
Venezuela, Ukraine right now in the Donbas, right? Literally anywhere. So when you look across Ukraine, you're seeing law enforcement has shifted to a military role, and all they're doing is helping the police. And the people who live in these towns are taking law and order into their own hands. Well, burglaries are up, crime is up, all kinds of things are going on because everyone else is so occupied in fighting the war, or you're in the areas between where the Russians and the Ukrainians are. There's that no man's land in between, right? The contested territory. And in that, you got soldiers from both sides taking food from people who live there. You've got criminal elements roaming around and raiding people's properties. You have to be thinking about this, especially as both sides ratchet up the tension and angle us further and further towards World War III.
Yeah. No, and here's the thing. You know, when you were talking about that, If people who are old enough remember like USA for Africa, We Are the World and all these kind of things, if you wrote a check to that, you know, the food didn't go. So it doesn't even have to be in a without rule of law. The corruption has caused those situations too, where the people that are in charge in the government take all the money, they take all the food, and the people don't get it. So if that can happen in a regular, you know, corrupt situation, what do you think can happen when everybody's crazy and you have 40% less production and everything's too high for you, you know, expensive for you to be able to buy. So it is legit. And we talk about all this stuff in all these podcasts, everything you just mentioned about security, posting, you know, perimeters and everything. We've talked about that in all the podcasts, so they could go back and listen to it all.
Here's a great point. You make a good point, because that was the entire purpose of the U.S. Operation Restore Hope in Ethiopia, or I'm sorry, Somalia. So the Marines landed for that very reason, right? We were delivering food aid and warlords were stealing it. But even then what happened was the Marines landed. The warlords knew better than to fight the 2nd Marine Division. And so the Marines secured Mogadishu and they secured Kismayu after about a week. But everywhere else was absolute lawlessness. And even in Mogadishu, when the Marines were on the block, everything was nice. But once the Marines turned that corner and went and patrolled another sector of the city, that city fell right back to warlords fighting each other. So once you get to that collapsed society, and they're still there, by the way, in that situation, it doesn't matter how many control forces are around. They'll just wait for them to leave. So Mogadishu exactly is an example of why we don't have enough troops to control the whole country. We sent in, at the height of the involvement there, there were two U.S. divisions, a Pakistani division, and like a Malayan brigade there, right? So almost four divisions of troops. That's fully one third of the U.S. military, and we couldn't control Mogadishu.
Yeah.
So think about how that's going to be in an American city. It's going to be even worse.
Yeah, and again, these people have already been emboldened. We do have warlords here. We already have, we already have gangs all over the country. And with the borders open, we have terrorists now. We have the cartels doing, you know, I have mentioned that I cannot watch Sicario. I'm going to get into it a little bit more in the future. I can't watch Sicario Part 2 because it just upsets me so much to know that they're just opening it up for that kind of thing. But I want to, you know, you have a statement in the book. It says, self-determination is freedom. If I am prepared, train and self-sufficient, you just mentioned it. I can do what I choose, not what some other entity wants me to do. They won't have leverage to get me to do, to bend to their will, and that leaves only force as their remaining option. If I am ready to conduct defensive operations at all times, force becomes costly for those who attempt it. Now, up until now in this conversation and really in the podcast, we've been talking about individuals, whether it's criminals, you know, the warlords, or desperate people. But since you do bring it up in the book, you know, we kind of dance around it a little bit, talk about the other group of criminals, which is the U.S. government. I'm just kidding, Agent Jansen. Seriously, though, but I'm not really kidding. So So, talk about how the DPA describes hoarding and how that applies to what we're discussing with regard to defensive.
Absolutely. So first of all, some people might think, yeah, but taking such a militant stance is going to lead to people attacking you. Not really. I've got two choices. I can look like I'm ready to defend myself and make them go pick a different target, or I can look like a sheep and get eaten by the wolves. Very simple. You have two choices. So there it is. And again, the elephant in the room is the U.S. government. A lot of people say, well, the U.S. government will be there to help you. They didn't exactly do a whole lot to help during Katrina. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
The Defense Production Act is a law that's on the books, and it's been on there for a long time. It enables the government to force companies to produce what they want, and by companies, they include farmers, at the price they want, simply by saying, because we said so. So you might think, well, that's cool in cases of all-out war, but it was invoked repeatedly, despite what people will tell you, during the COVID pandemic.
I know.
The big three automakers were forced to make ventilators, even though it was costing them money to do so, right? They were forced to make them at a certain price for the federal government, and most of those ended up in a landfill and never used. Ford Motor Company was forced to make masks. Now, 3M, who is a U.S. company, that's why it applied to them, has some masks manufactured in China. They were put on a boat and were then shipped to Berlin or to Frankfurt. No, it was Hamburg, Germany, where the Hamburg city government had paid for them. The United States Navy intercepted that ship on the high seas under the Defense Production Act because it was a U.S. company and seized those masks that were paid for by a German city and brought them back to the U.S. The Defense Production Act legalizes armed robbery by the federal government. Seriously, 3M raised a big fuss. Just like, hey, man, those masks never touched America. But they said, well, guess what? You're an American company, so we could do that. And again, we didn't need the masks. We just did it. There was also a guy who, while his business practices were probably unethical, they weren't illegal. A guy brought himself a supply of a couple million masks. And
I remember that.
Warehouse, right? And he wanted to sell them, but he wanted to sell them at an exorbitant rate. So what happened then was the FBI charged him with hoarding because they declared masks to be a critical, scarce resource. So that allowed them to just go and take them from him and arrest him and charge him with hoarding masks. He paid for them. He owned them, and he was offering them for sale at a price he chose. Now, market economics says he can offer them at that price. That just means we don't have to buy them from him, right? But the federal government, by invoking the Defense Production Act, forced the hand and said, hey, listen, we're going to arrest you for this. And they took his masks and then redistributed them. You think, man, that sounds like something that can only happen in the Soviet Union. Well, it's a law on the books here.
Well, they do have anti-gouging laws in an emergency. Like hurricanes.
Yeah, if there are other people offering them at other prices, it's not gouging. I can charge whatever I want. But if I'm the only person selling them or everyone is selling them at the same price, that's price gouging.
Touche. Yeah.
So I can sell it whatever I want for whatever price I want. It's up to you whether you buy it or not. If I'm the only supplier or every supplier in the area agrees to the same high price, that's price gouging. So, how does that apply to your life, though? Okay, so a crisis begins. They declare food scarce. We're already seeing that. But they go through your old Facebook posts, and they see you posting about your 10-year food supply. The way that the Defense Production Act says that anyone who is holding a scarce resource, whether it be food, ammunition, whatever, above your immediate and personal use can be declared a hoarder, and they can seize your stuff and put you in jail. Seems drastic, but they've already done it. And that wasn't even, we weren't even anywhere near a drastic situation. So think about that. And it goes, say, with gasoline, food and ammo. And what's funny is they automatically have on there anything listed under the International Trafficking in Arms Regulation is automatically pre-listed as a critical scarce item. So you might think, well, that doesn't, I don't have any international arms, but a GPS is listed as arms.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, binoculars are listed as arms. Radios, small handheld radios, are listed as arms because they have a military purpose. A compass can be used to be listed as an arms. So you have to be very, very careful about talking about what you have and letting people know what you have.
All those YouTubers are going to be screwed, man. I'm telling you what. Once they find the IP, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And a lot of people say, well, you know, and I only do it in private Facebook groups. But you did it on Facebook, and Facebook already doesn't like you. Yeah. So, you know, you're just being silly. I don't share things like that around. And in fact, that's also why I don't recommend you store a large amount of food. I recommend you have enough food to get you through for 3 to 6 months, which is a growing season, right? Mm-hmm. And after that, you need to work on your own food production. That way, if I've only got enough food that we're actually only going to use in the next 3 to 6 months, then they can't say I'm hoarding food and they can't come and take it from me. And I guess my other recommendation on that is don't keep that much in any one location. Spread it out.
Yes, that's a good point. And I just want to say I love Trump, but that, and I, you know, because I had some conversations about him this week and stuff. They lied to him about the pandemic. So I didn't, you know, looking at what he did with the DPA, on one hand, you say, well, that's the power of the federal government should be to help its citizens. And he was doing that, but they lied to him. So I think that, you know, I don't like it when I analyze it just from a strictly concerned about my government point of view. But I do believe they lied to him about it. But I just want to mention the thing about 3M, because, and it kind of a bell clicked when you said it. One of the reasons that the teachers unions don't want the masks to end for the kids is because they are invested in 3M, which makes masks. So yeah. If you need masks, you get more money. So if you don't think that that's an evil and sick reason to mandate that little baby kids be muzzled all day, then I don't know, because it's evil.
Well, and so as we're talking about this and then being able to come and take your stuff, a lot of people say, and usually people on the left say, well, you can't fight the U.S. government. Well, first of all, the Ukrainians are doing a pretty darn good job of stopping a highly advanced and motorized military with just small arms. Two, illiterate farmers with guns made in the 60s and 70s have beat the U.S. government, and for all of their technological advances. A bunch of Afghan farmers and a bunch of Vietnamese farmers sent us packing.
Right. So
you can say what you want. There's ways to defeat all these things. And we're seeing how well tanks fare in a modern urban city in Ukraine. Right. These tanks are just getting smoked by the citizens dropping Molotovs on them or on the engine deck or whatever. And a tank crew can't live in the tank. They eventually have to get out. So I'm not advocating for or against all that, but I just want to point out that the Second Amendment exists not to protect hunting rights or sporting,
yes,
but it exists to enable you to forcefully and violently resist the illegal actions of the U.S. government. And people say, yeah, but is that really going to happen? I don't like Randy Weaver as a person. He was a bad man. But Randy Weaver hadn't actually committed a crime. He was entrapped into it by the ATF. And then when the U.S. Marshals illegally entered his property just to look around, and they got in a gunfight with him, the court ruled that because of the Second Amendment and the fact that those U.S. Marshals had no search warrant, it was lawful self-defense to shoot the federal government when they enter your property illegally. Yeah. That's an important distinction to know.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of that, on the same day that Rittenhouse was acquitted, a black guy was acquitted for shooting a cop, I don't know what level of cop, in a no-knock raid. So, yeah. And here's the thing. I don't care. This is going to sound cold. I don't care if there's a quote unquote mass shooting every single day, all day. Never give up your guns. Ever, 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 ever. You'll never get them back and it'll be over. So well, they'll make up whatever they have to make up.
That's the point I'm eventually going to do an article about, is that what you need to realize with these mass shootings happening every day and all these other things going on, when you analyze it, you're already in the middle of a societal collapse.
Yeah.
It's just a slow moving one and you're just not acting like it. Right. So criminals are allowed to go out and do whatever they want. We saw last weekend in Grand Rapids when the rioting started, law enforcement just retreated. They went back and protected their own building. and the criminals were allowed to rule downtown for a while. That's actually the norm. Law enforcement interjecting and ending it is the exception. The sooner you accept that, the sooner you realize how important the Second Amendment is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have thoughts on what should be allowed to happen in that situation, but I won't say it here. But I think maybe people can deduce what that is. Was there anything that you thought of after you wrote the preface for this book that you'd want to include now?
I would want to include that you have to take this is far more seriously than I even made it in the book, right? This isn't a I should be ready to defend my property when something bad happens thing. This is a you should have been ready to defend your property 3 years ago thing, mm-hmm. right? You're already in the middle of this. We need to really ramp it up, and we need to really be ready today, because as we saw in Kenosha and as we saw in Minneapolis, the full and total collapse of law enforcement, even if it's not permanent, can happen in under an hour. And you need to be able to transition from normal peacetime life to full-on war in an hour. And I think that the semi-peaceful nature of the Ukraine prior to February 24th should illustrate that issue. And as silly as that video of Malcolm Nancy is with the air raid going on, it's illustrative in the fact that they were sitting there having a nice conversation on a park bench 1 minute, and then the very next, rockets are falling from the sky all around them. Whether you choose to believe it or not, the capability for that to happen wherever you live in America exists right now. Russia has submarines. China has submarines. They've always been on our coast. It's not an escalation to say they've got nuclear submarines on your coast. They've been there the whole time. They can rain down missiles anywhere they want to with less than an hour's notice anywhere in this country. And I'm not trying to be a doom monger, but we're pushing the buttons of Russia and China mm-hmm. every single day. And that just gets closer to being an inevitable response.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm hoping that Baby J comes back. I know you told me it's going to be 7 years, so let's just get on with it already because I'm tired. with regard to politics, it is official. I can't believe this happened so quickly, really. Elon Musk has bought Twitter. President Trump has said he won't be getting back on, which I think is a mistake. I know he has his own Truth Social, which, in my opinion, is a bust. I can't get on because I don't have iPhone. I think that that's ridiculous. I'm not sure why that's the case. But you better be ready to, you better be ready to strike when you get out and whatever.
Well, I can tell you why that's the case, because big tech rules the world. And if they don't want you to have something, you're not going to get it. It's just that simple.
Well, didn't he know that?
No, I did. But you're the one who seems surprised.
No, him.
Got it. Oh. Well, I think that he's naive, and he's a cool guy, and I kind of liked some of the things he did as president, but I've always maintained that he's been so out of touch with the real world, they didn't know how things really work.
Wow.
So, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't do his own shopping, he doesn't arrange his own social media, he doesn't do anything, he has people for that, and so he doesn't really know how everyone else's life works, right?
But as the CEO of his own company, if he says something gets done, it gets done. And if he doesn't, he fires people. So
yeah,
he just
he's not the one who does it.
Huh?
But he's not the one who does it. So he doesn't know what hoops have to be jumped through to make something happen. And it's not a knock on him. It's just a knock on the situation that if big tech decides you're done, you're done. Look at Parler.
Well, it's going, but it's just that you can't get on. It's taking forever. And, you can't get on Android or whatever like that. But
they'll slow you down to the point where it just nothing's going to happen.
Well, why did they let Getter go?
Do you really think Getter's going?
It's the only one that is. It's not going at Twitter level. Because
every four followers I have, three are Chinese.
You know, this is true. Yeah, but a lot of them are too. Yeah.
I mean, is Getter anywhere near any other social media platform as far as number of people?
No.
And it's not ever going to be because they don't want it to. They're letting you have a little slice of the pie and hoping that'll be enough to make you happy. But it's never going to be allowed to get to the level of Twitter or Facebook because they were, until yesterday, controlled by the high-tech left.
Well, speaking of that, what do you think he does? And what do you think happens? You think he's doing this legitimately?
I think he's doing it for the meme, and I think people are putting way too much hope in Elon Musk. The one thing Elon Musk likes is people.
I'm not a fanboy of his. I agree. People are too much fanboy on him. He wants to chip your brain. Chill out.
People liking Elon Musk. But again, he's the guy who wants to chip your brain.
Yeah.
He's the guy who wants to send you to Mars. He's not what he's cracked up to be. Remember when he was going to dig tunnels underneath Los Angeles? How's that going?
Yeah. You need permits and regulations, so he's not going to do it. That's funny. But why is he blowing $45 billion for Twitter then?
Make money. He's going to make money off the deal no matter what.
That's it, though?
Well, when you're a rich guy, yeah, he's doing it for that and for the fame. I bought Twitter. Cool.
So you don't think that he's going to bring people back on? You don't think that he actually cares? Because here's the thing. Supposedly, he's run by China. If he really wanted to have the free speech on Twitter, he would be criticizing China, but he can't do that, right?
He's not ever going to do that. Seriously, he bought it just to say he did it and just to give everybody that win. It's the circus, right? It's something to distract everyone from the real issues in the world. For example, what else happened this week that made this need to happen? There was an election in France.
Right.
What happened in that election? Well, Marine Le Pen was ahead by 130 something thousand votes, and less than 30 minutes later, she lost.
Really?
And then what happened is in the morning when that came out, boy, stop me if you've heard this story before, because man, does it sound familiar. Everyone went to bed the night before with Marine Le Pen in a solid lead. They wake up. Marine Le Pen has lost. Macron has won. He's giving his speech. She's giving hers. And the people immediately took to the streets and violence broke out throughout France. Then Elon Musk bought Twitter. And now all you hear about is Elon Musk and Twitter. I'm just saying.
Well, I heard about the French election that she wasn't very good in the debates, and she wasn't last time either. She didn't win last time, but like that she was talking about changing the pension system, and all of the old people voted for the pension, which is what they do here for the Social Security and everything. They don't want to change Social Security or Medicare, and that all of the younger people voted against Macron, but that he won. Huh?
Let me ask you something. Are the dead people who voted in our election old or young?
Yeah, they're dead. They're old.
Huh. So he got a lot
of... But he's already in there. He has incumbency. That's usually a precursor for getting, you know, having a better chance at winning.
Look at how popular he's been as a president.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. No one likes him. Not even his wife, mother, whatever she is.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Former teacher, I don't know, whatever she is to him.
She's Jill of the France.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that about how the election went that way. I knew it was going to be close, but
and that's it. See, because she did terrible in the debates, and she was against the pension thing, and yet she was ahead.
So if she was so terrible,
she wouldn't have been ahead.
So he buys it to stop them talking about the French election. Like, who gives a shit?
Well, here's the other. No, you act on one hand, you mentioned how there's this vast international conspiracy. And then on the other hand, you act surprised that there's a vast international conspiracy. It's so cute.
Well, $50 billion is a lot. No. Listen, you trust me. You'll get no argument from me on any of that stuff. I thought for sure she'd win. He, you know, whatever. But $50 billion is a lot of money just to drop to change.
I'm not saying that he was involved in that. I'm saying that Twitter dropped their opposition at a certain time, and it's weird.
Yeah, well, that for sure. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
Because in all reality, here's the cold hard facts about any business in America. Doesn't really matter who specifically owns it. It's the employees who run it. Much like the U.S. government. Doesn't really matter who the president is. It matters who runs the government.
Right. The bureaucrats.
Yeah. So...
especially under Trump. I mean, that was never truer than under Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow,
right.
That's an interesting thought about Elon. I'll have to think about that. And I really didn't know that detail about the so basically the French election was Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So the people are rioting because they know that it's BS.
Or but, all places, Michigan. When we went to bed in Michigan, Donald Trump had a solid lead.
Oh yeah.
And every news agency had already called Michigan, who has always been deep blue, for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But then in the morning it changed. So
listen, six states stopped counting in the middle of the night, and we're supposed to act like nothing ever happens. I've said this from the beginning. If that was a Democrat that was ahead and it switched for a Republican, particularly Trump, there wouldn't be a blade of grass that isn't on fire in this country. Well, so see,
here's the thing is a lot of people on the left have mentioned that the European model of elections is better than ours. And the European model is exactly like what happened in France. There are two or three rounds, depending on how big of a percentage lead you have, right? So you have round one, then there's a round two. What that actually does is it would allow a party who was involved in stealing an election to decide how many votes they needed to make up
yeah.
in order to win the next round. And gosh yeah. darn it, Macron won in the second round, didn't even need a third.
Wow, so, see?
So people want to see that kind of happen here. And I'm just saying it's an odd coincidence that election happened, violence happened, and then now all of a sudden the only thing we're hearing about is Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Well, and along the note of the election, who was involved in Zuckerbucks? David Plouffe. What did he do? He wrote a book on how to defeat Trump. So no conspiracies, no coincidences, as Bannon always says. But so. A Trump judge, glorious Florida judge, put a halt to the diapers, face diapers on the metallic tubes in the air. Of course, they're going to appeal that because they don't like freedom, even though everybody was happy about it. But a Trump judge has also put a halt to Title 42 being rescinded. Thank God for Trump judge.
But here's the thing about the mask thing. The yeah. airline can still implement their own rule if they want to.
They don't want to, though. They didn't want to for a long time. They did not want to. They kept criticizing and saying, please don't make us do this. Why? Because people were going crazy in the airports and on the planes.
Well, here's my thing about that, too, is that everyone had their meltdown about it. But nothing stops you from wearing a mask if you want to.
Yes.
And if your mask is so magical, what do you care?
Yes. Well, because deep down inside, besides the fact that they're godless and that is their amulet, they need it. Fauci is their pope. They need to be reassured that they're good people, right, and doing the right thing. And if everybody around them is not wearing it, then they are not good people and doing the right thing. So they need to have everybody else in control so that they won't be separate from the crowd. These are the sheep. So you're totally right. You know, why should I have to wear one just because you wear one? You know, but that's not how they work. They're tyrants. They're fascist dictator tyrants.
Right on.
Yeah. So do you think that this Title 42 will have any effect when we already have like 2 million illegals already in the country?
Yeah. No, it'll have zero effect. It's a slideshow to get you to say, oh, look, we got to win. It doesn't. It
right.
Affects- thing. They're already not doing it. So
yeah. Well, and there was a National Guard soldier that died rescuing an illegal alien. So
not just illegal alien, a drug smuggler.
Yeah, a drug smuggler. So I guarantee you that if he had not died and he had punched the drug smuggler, he would be in jail and the drug smuggler would be free.
Well, and here's another side point to that is that the violence on that border is escalating. We saw last week the cartel you have to admire their ability to get the supply chain moving. When there was a big truck backup at Nuevo Laredo, entering Laredo, they got out their rocket launchers and they just blew up several of the trucks that were in the way and they kind of cleared the line.
Oh,
so they're really good at fixing the supply chain. But the point is that Mexico is a complete and utter failed state.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you live in Mexico City or one of the more large cities, the rest of the country is ruled by criminal gangs. So what does that mean for us? We're importing that here. Houston has a higher murder rate per capita than New York City because of the violence coming across the border. And those groups with their animosities moving into those cities. And it's also making that every town in America is now a border town.
Absolutely.
And you have to understand that violence is just going to get worse everywhere we go. You're seeing all kinds of criminal acts related to that. And everyone wants to hide it, but it's true.
Well,
a lot of this violence is caused by illegal aliens.
Yeah, and let's just admit that not all cultures are the same. And like, if you're going to import a bunch of Salvatrucha from San Salvador and women who are breeding and popping out kids like that, what do you think they're going to have? They're used to getting beat up or raped or having been trafficked, and they come here, they're not going to change unless they get mediation and unless they get mandated assimilation. They're just going to bring it here, and everywhere they have MS-13, they have murders in those neighborhoods, and they never send them to Bel Air, and they don't send them to Obama's house. They send them to the immigrants' house, which, by the way, if we actually have a fair election, is going to change a lot, because Hispanics are over Biden. And by the way, it's totally racist for Democrats to think that just because you're Hispanic, you're totally okay with crime. Same thing with Blacks. Like, they think that if you're Black, you're like totally okay with illegal aliens and crime and murders and rapes in the street on the train. You know, people, if we have a fair election, I think that things are going to change. The coalition, you know, on the right, and I'm not talking about Republicans, I'm talking about the America First, MAGA, like F the establishment coalition, is growing, and it's getting more colorful, which is necessary. But
notice that you qualified all of that with if we have a fair election.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, Jen, that
if we have elections,
wasting your breath. You're wasting your breath. I don't think we're going to have a fair election. We're already setting it up. We're already creating the conditions where we're going to have to do something different election-wise again.
We're going to have to do something different in a lot of ways, I think, because if that's the case, it's, you know, let's get it on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the point I'm making. is that we're coming to such an inflection point that there's going to be no choice. For example, this releasing of Mark Meadows' cell phone records. We have a Fourth Amendment in the United States.
Yeah.
You cannot be compelled to just produce information, evidence against yourself. That's the Fifth Amendment. They can't just go and get information about you. That's the Fourth Amendment. All of these things are silly. And everyone, and you mentioned it earlier, that the Constitution is defunct. I'm going to disagree. Just because they're not following it doesn't mean it's defunct. It is the best document on this planet, and the best hope for the planet is that we follow the Constitution. Just because the government isn't doesn't mean we throw it away. If we throw it away, they get to do whatever they want. If we instead decide to exercise everything that is mentioned in it between the Constitution and the Declaration, and I'll let y'all draw your own conclusions, and if they kick down my door, they kick down my door. I don't care. If we exercise the processes in it that are mentioned for this specific set of circumstances, we can force them to do what they're supposed to do. The fact that we don't emboldens them to take even more from you.
Yeah. Well, I you know, the one thing about libertarianism, like Beck talks about, oh, we just need to follow the Constitution. I totally agree. But here's the thing. The other side doesn't care about the Constitution. And when they have people like Soros, DAs, SAs, and AGs all over the country, where if you defend yourself, you're going to go to jail. But then the BLM, and we had this yesterday, a BLM, you know, activist, whatever, you know, thug gets out. What are people going to do? The document is not going to be their shield and their protection.
No, but the document tells you what can be under the law. And technically, under the law, if I want to have a Stinger rocket system, I should be able to have a Stinger rocket system.
Well, I agree. And use it. Use it. Yes. Self-defense.
And that's the other thing, too, is that all these permits required for carrying concealed weapons and all of that, the Constitution says keep and bear. Bearing arms means carrying arms.
That's my CCW.
Yeah.
The Constitution, Second Amendment. Well, here's the thing. That's why I really think, you know, Jesse talks about this. Jesse Kelly talks about this. It's like fortify your state, fortify your county, your city, whatever it is. I think that that's why DeSantis is going so hard on everything. Like every win is said, oh, okay, we're going to take this further. They just did a pro-life bill. Now, you know, I don't think the school, the parents' rights bill goes far enough. It should be till 12th grade. Those freaks shouldn't be talking to the kids about sex. But their bill after bill after bill of like saying, watch me, what are you going to do? And go leave the state. Go say gay in New York. If that's what your thing is, go say gay and be tranny and all your stuff out of this state. This is going to be like so red. It's going to be like a, you know, Carpaccio.
Yeah, but real. I want to correct one thing. The bill says nothing about not saying gay or not being gay.
I know.
Gay, and you can say gay all you want.
I know. That's what Adam said in New York.
Yeah. Well, I don't want people to misconstrue your words there, bro.
No, yes. The bill doesn't say, they call it the no say gay. But what it is that Eric Adams, the illiterate pimp from New York, said, you can come to New York and say gay all the time. So that's what I was saying about that. Yes, please go back to New York City, where if you take the train, you're a poor, innocent worker going to your job, and you can just be raped in the train or thrown off the train.
You know, do you notice how quick the mass shooting on the train has vanished from the news?
Yeah, because he was black, and he's a black. You were totally right, Joe Stradamus, a black Hebrew Israelite.
Absolutely.
They don't talk about Waukesha.
And you know what, though? We're going to see a lot more of that. And I think if you go back and look at all the terrorist attacks that have been done by them, you'll realize they're the biggest terrorist threat in America, not white males.
Yeah. So. Well, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it really fall? They don't cover it. It doesn't happen. It was a red van in Waukesha.
Yep,
so,
fan.
Yeah. Is there anything new happening in Shanghai that we should be looking for?
It's about to expand to Beijing, a city of 21 million. Beijing is about to be locked down because they have 40 COVID cases in a city of 21 million.
Why are they doing it?
I suspect to cause further. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I haven't been able to confirm this, but I've heard it from several different people who would know. That there was an incident in Shanghai. The people were hungry. There was a Tiananmen Square type incident, and they just killed them all. And that this unrest is actually spreading in China, and they're using COVID as a cover for cracking down on unrest. So which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Doesn't matter. What matters is that there's unrest in China and that they are locking down the entire country. What does that do for you? It slows down an awful lot in your life because Shanghai is the busiest port in the world, which sends most of its products to the second busiest port in the world, which is ours, Long Beach. Mm-hmm. So who knows? I think we're going to see a bigger lockdown in China. We're going to see more unrest out of China. But China has a historical model. When threatened with internal strife, they lash out at an external target, and really any country does, right? When your country's starting to fall apart,
what Japan did.
You can get everyone to band together and fight an external enemy. Mm-hmm. So I would anticipate more saber rattling out of China as the screws get tightened down tighter on the population. What's odd is you're not seeing any American pushback against these lockdowns. What you're seeing is American media cheering them on as.
Yeah.
This is the responsible thing to do.
People are jumping from the buildings, the high rises. Yeah.
As we head towards an election, right? So that's what I've got coming out of there, that there's a lot of unrest and they're locking it down and pretending that it's COVID.
Names and addresses. Your freedoms are being taken away by people with names and addresses. That's all I have to say about that. Any parting thoughts as we wrap up, Joe?
The biggest one is this, understand that you're already in a collapse. It's just not a black swan event you thought was going to happen, right? There's no big boom and the lights go out. What's going to happen is incrementally, little by little, crime's going to go up, order is going to reduce, and then eventually you're going to wake up and realize, man, how do we get here? So plant food, arm yourself, and develop a plan to protect your family.
Yeah. And pray. for whatever good that does.
Well, every other time throughout history, if you read the Bible, when God destroyed the society that existed because of their ills, and don't get me wrong, everything we're doing matches that pattern, calling evil good and good evil. Every single time there was a remnant who survived, and it was a faithful remnant and a remnant that he wanted to survive because they were doing the right thing. Be that those people.
All righty. Well, thanks again for another great Tactical Tuesdays podcast, Joe. And I want to thank you all for listening. Please share not only with your friends, but on social media to be a force multiplier. We're working to provide this information, which could potentially save lives. You can catch all of our, and remember to look out for the old folks and the critters, by the way. You can catch all of our podcasts on my website, brooktalksamerica.com. They're also on iHeart, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Google, and a whole host of others. It's pretty great that the lefties gave us a free platform for me to trash them, Joe. And we'll hopefully get it back on Twitter. That would be amazing. The old crew. So Joe's website, tactical-wisdom.com, not only has his books available, but his great articles. So be sure to check those out. And like I said, hopefully I'll be getting back on Twitter sometime soon. But until then, I'm on Facebook and Getter. Joe is on all of them. Anyways, as with all of this stuff, hopefully we'll never need it in real time, but better to have and not need than need and not have. So let's get prepared and see you next week on Brooke Talks America, Tactical Tuesdays. Yeah, so Joe, I just wanted to, before we go, just wanted you to talk about your new YouTube channel a little bit.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we have a new YouTube channel. It's called Tactical Wisdom. And on it so far, we've got a few videos. Right now, what's on there are some reactions to the Grand Rapids police shooting and an analysis of the South African riots from last year. Because as I've always said, South Africa is where the globalists test everything they're going to do here. And we had a guest on our other show on Monday. He's going to be on my show sometime this week. It'll be up on my Tactical Wisdom channel soon, who's from South Africa. And he said, that's exactly right. South Africa is the test bed, and all the unrest they're seeing there, we will see here. So head over to YouTube, check it out, Tactical Wisdom YouTube channel.
And the links are going to be on your website for all of that too, right?
Absolutely.
All right, great. Well, I just wanted to make sure that we remembered that for the show, and there you go.